So new series. Y'all ready for this? Dun, 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 dun. Are you ready for a new series?
Yeah.
I don't think you are. You don't have my notes that I have. We are starting a new series here on the book of James, which is a tough, hard-hitting, difficult to absorb, and somewhat controversial. I mentioned to my parents a couple weeks back, you know, they asked me, so what's the next series? I said, I'm going to go through the book of James. My dad goes, yeah, me and the book of James, we have a problem. And I agree. James can be problematic. But I have learned, both in my walk and as a pastor, if it's tough, I want to go at it. I want to learn about it. I want to dig into it. If my mind says, all right, that's complicated, I don't want to back away. I want to dive into this. And this is a tough book. Now, going into this, I hope you and I have a good relationship. We have some guests here. You don't know me, but I hope we can have a good relationship going into this, because I believe in this series, God is going to bring conviction. And sometimes our heart is softened to when the Holy Spirit convicts our heart and we say, yes, Lord, I need change. But sometimes a thought or word is spoken that the Holy Spirit is trying to bring conviction, and we resist it and we point a finger at the source of it. Well, you have no right to say that. Why are you doing that? Or why aren't you doing that? So I hope we have a good relationship, because I love you all dearly. Dearly. But we got work to do. And so we're going to dig in. The series title is Growing Up in Christ. Now, Kira helps me with the slides and the backdrops, and we went back and forth with what do we call this? Going from a lamb to having a lion within. Growing Up in Christ, the book of James. I had an alternate title, so there's an extra title, and this is my more preferred. Ready for it? Oh, Grow Up. I'm going to use that, okay? But you got to love me as I love you. We need to just grow up, okay? And that is the book of James. Now, a few things. We took a break in our last series of the worship series for the kids doing their coloring and questions. But we have out in the entryway, and I see some of the kids have these. There is a clipboard. Thank you. My teleprompter is all around me here. Clipboards. With coloring on it, and the coloring has to do a little bit with the message, and on the back of it, typically I have one question, but this is a growing up class, and so I have three questions. And so the kids, what I ask of you is to do the coloring. You can color as I talk, but you got to have your ears open, and then as I'm talking, you're listening, there's three questions, and so you write your answer of those slots. And then I want to see you at the door on your way out, and I want to look at your coloring. I want to see the answer to all three questions, and then I have a piece of candy for you. Yeah, yours is not quite kid age sort of thing. So if there's any kids here that would like to do that, you're welcome to go back there, grab a clipboard, and we have coloring pencils and crayons. And for the adults, I've got something for you too, as well. I know there are note takers in our midst. Some of you that just love to take notes. And since this is a slightly different style series, I've got notes for you. On the corner of the sound booth, there is a stack of papers, one page, that if you'd like to grab it right now, you're welcome to do that. I've got fill in the blanks. I've got scriptures. I know a lot of you, as I rattle off scriptures, it's hard to kind of keep up with it. So I'm going to try to do that every week because this series is teaching. Maybe I needed to print more. And I can do that at least for next week. Yeah, I knew there was like three, you know, so I think I printed off 15 there. And I'm going to try to do that every week because I know that some of you just enjoy taking notes. If there's not enough, Mary, if you want to make some copies or something. Yeah, thank you. So I want to have that to you. And like I said, this series is a little bit different. Last series, the worship series, we had music, we had testimony, we had scripture, we had emotions. Well, you're going to have emotions in this series, but it might be a slightly different emotion. We'll see. We'll pray for you, and we'll get through that. But this is going to be teaching. So it might not be as exciting. I'll see what I can do. But it's a lot of information as we go through this book of James. But some of you, everyone learns different, right? All in this sanctuary, we all kind of learn differently. So this will be more of a teaching series. So we'll have notes for you. All right, so let's begin. If you have your Bibles, you can start in the back. If you don't know where we're going, you get to Revelations, and you go through, I think there's Jude, and then you get to the Johns, the Peter, I think Hebrews and James, all right? So you're getting to the book of Jacob. Did he just say Jacob? Is he lost his mind?
Yeah.
Is he going to explain why he said Jacob? No. So open up your Bibles to Jacob, chapter 1, verse 1, and we will begin reading. And we learned this in our last series we had a little teaching on it, that in the Old Testament, they would stand at the reading of the word. So if you would, I'm going to invite you to stand, and you can bring it up. And we are going to just read one verse. Don't worry, it's not too long. Get our exercise in here. Book of Jacob, chapter 1, verse 1. This letter is from James, a slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am writing to the 12 tribes, Jewish believers scattered abroad. Greetings. Let's pray. God, we stand before you. I pray with open hearts and open minds for you to speak your truth to us. And I ask, God, challenge us. Bring conviction, bring challenges, Lord, to our hearts and our minds, Lord, because I know we need the change. There are things we must do to grow up. And so, Lord, I pray that we have that mindset as we begin this series. And I pray, Lord, you minister to us, you speak to us, and do the work that you have to do in us. We open our hearts to you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. All right, fine. I'll explain. Jacob. Well, first we want to look at our author. Who is James? Well, his name is actually Jacob. In Greek, which the New Testament is written in, his name is Jacobus. Does that sound like James? And that comes from the Hebrew name, Jacob. Jacob. What do you think? Does that sound like James or does that sound like Jacob? His name is actually Jacob, and it's a very common name in Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Everyone was naming their child Brittany, right? Because she's so popular. Everyone was naming their children Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob, right? Because they were God is the God of them, you know. So Jacob is a very common name in the Bible. Then why do we call him James? Well, it has to do with translations or lost in translation. His name, Jacob, is Jacob, and that's in Hebrew. And then there's a slight change a little bit as it goes to Greek. And throughout the course of history, then Greek writings were translated into Old Latin. And then they were translated into New Latin. And eventually for us, they got translated into English. You all remember the first primarily well-known English Bible? Some of you have it in your hands. New King James Bible. Oh, or Old King James. Okay, New King James. Or sorry, the King James Bible, not just New King. So, what happened? Well, in that translation, in the changing of Old Latin, New Latin, somewhere in there it got flipped over to James. And I think the King probably liked that name. That's just my speculation. He kind of liked that one. And so it was recorded as James. And so every version of the Bible, because everyone else here, if you don't have a King James Bible, you've got different versions. And if they're newer than that, I don't know, if, what was it, Wycliffe was before King James? Probably not a lot of people with those. All of our translations, we see the book of James. And the guys that were translating these new versions, they got to the book of James, they're like, okay, guys, it's technically Jacob. Should we change it to Jacob? Yeah, no, that's a bad idea. They'll stone us because we've got a different book in there. History, tradition, whatever. We have the book of James. And we haven't changed it ever since. Now, it's probably more of a change of like Robert to Bob or William to Billy. It's kind of a modern take on an old name. So is there controversy there with the name James and Jacob? I don't think so. Not in this case. But don't worry. Give it time. The book of James is going to irk you in another way coming up. So in the New Testament, at least, there are some others that have the name James or Jacob. I'll stop doing that. We'll just call him James from here on out. I concede. The first one we have in the New Testament is James, the son of Zebedee, who was a brother to John, John the Beloved. James, the son of Zebedee, was a disciple of Jesus. And he and his brother, James and John, were known as the Sons of Thunder. Now this James was the first disciple to give his life. He died as a martyr for Christ. He was killed by King Herod in 44 AD, and you can read about that in Acts chapter 12. So that's the first James. The next James we have is James, the son of Alphaeus. You can find that in Matthew chapter 10, verse 3. And he was another disciple. So there was two disciples named James. Little is known of this guy. What's also interesting is Matthew, you know Matthew, the tax collector, a disciple. He was also the son of Alphaeus. So maybe this James and Matthew were brothers. We don't know. They might have been. If you've watched the TV series The Chosen, Jesus has a nickname for these two Jameses, right? There's Big James and there's Little James. Now, is that scripture? Nah, I don't know. But in Mark chapter 15, verse 40, this second James is known as James the Less. That's a great name. Or James the Younger. And so that might be the Little James that we get in a TV series. But he did have a different name. So we have two Jameses. Then we also get in Luke chapter 6, verse 16, James, the father of Judas, the disciple. Not that Judas. You see, there is two Judases in the Bible. There's the good one, and there's the not-so-good one. And so the good one, his father's name was James. And again, very little, that's about all we know of this James. So there's three Jameses. Jameses, what's the plural of James? But that's not our James. Our James, as we believe, is there's another James, and he is our most likely author in church history. As we read, our James calls himself a servant or a slave of God, a servant or a slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, most of you should know this, but sometimes it's surprising, maybe if you're younger, haven't gone through the Bible. Did you know that Jesus had brothers and sisters? A lot of times we don't contemplate that. But Jesus had brothers and sisters. He had siblings. We find that in Matthew 13, 55 through 56, and Mark chapter 6, verse 3. And so our James is the brother to Jesus Christ, or more specifically, a half-brother. They have the same mom, different dads. God, Joseph, a little different. But they were half-brothers. I find it interesting, when James declares himself at the beginning of his book, he says, I am a slave to Jesus. He doesn't say, I'm Jesus' brother. I mean, wouldn't you use that? I mean, how many of you know someone like semi or very famous, other than me? How many of you know someone that sometimes you bring up that kind of relationship, you know? I used to play in a band with the lead guitarist for Owl City. Yeah, some of you are like, who's Owl City? Yeah, and that was so long ago, and he was like 15 years old. Doesn't matter. But sometimes we take these relationships and we show them off. But James doesn't do that. No, I'm a slave to my bro. Yeah, that's how it works. He's older, I'm younger. I have to serve him. No, he is proud to be a servant of God and his brother, Jesus Christ. Now, what's interesting, we find in John chapter 7, verses 1 through 5, that the brothers of Jesus did not believe in him. Jesus starts his ministry, and even his family don't believe he is who he says he is. And we can accept with that is James. He didn't believe that Jesus was the Son of God. They didn't believe in him. Yet, after Jesus had died, was buried, resurrected, and ascended into heaven, in Acts chapter 1, verse 14, we find that the brothers, including James, were in the upper room. Somewhere in there, Jesus' ministry to his ascension, somewhere in there, they went from unbelieving to believing. And we don't know when. But we also know that they, at least James, probably was paying attention during this preaching time of Jesus' ministry. Because we find that some of James's favorite stories from Jesus come from the Sermon on the Mount. He references the Sermon on the Mount over and over again. So more than likely he was there, though he might have been a skeptic. But something happened to change him. Maybe he heard the stories from others, but I tend to think he was probably there, keeping an eye on his big brother. But something changed. In 1 Corinthians 15:7, we learn that Jesus appeared to James after the resurrection. So again, Jesus died, was buried, resurrected, and before he ascended, he met with his brother James. Whether a one-on-one or a group type thing, there was an experience. And that, I would think, might be the time where James went, okay, you are who you say you are. Tradition tells us that James was martyred or killed for his belief in 62 AD. The Pharisees hated his testimony of Jesus Christ. So you know what they did? They took him to the top of the temple, the church of God, and they threw him off. And I find that interesting. That sometimes people use the church to destroy others. Now, I throw that little thought out there because some of you in your heart have been hurt by the church. And if I say things like that, churches that use their power to hurt others, destroy others, it might resonate. But this is a series, forgive me, of growing up. God doesn't destroy you. The church, full of people who are messed up, like me, can hurt. But we need to grow up, and we need to mature. We need to forgive. It's tough, but there are a lot of lessons that we have a hard time getting through. So the church decided, no, we're going to destroy this guy, the church. And they threw him off the temple. But he didn't die. He's on the ground. He didn't die. And so they begin to beat him. And as they do that, he prays for them and he forgives them. That's the lesson. The church can hurt or destroy someone. But even for James, he forgave and he prayed for. Powerful. The book of Acts tells us that he was one of the key leaders, or maybe simply the leader, of the church in Jerusalem, the early church. And as you read through Acts, it'll just say James. It doesn't have his last name or the son of or anything to describe the brother of Jesus. It just says James. And I know as there were times as I read through and I'm reading Acts and I see the name James, I'm thinking about Big James. I'm thinking about the Sons of Thunder. But it's not him because he passed away, as we said earlier, years before. And so the book of Acts talks about our James many, many times over. Bible or tradition tells us that James was a man of prayer. And there's an interesting statement that James's knees were as hard as a camel's, because he was on his knees regularly praying. I think that's a good statement if you are known as a man of prayer. He was a man of the law of Moses. He really, really liked the law. And if you've read through James, you realize this guy is a black and white guy. He is a law guy. And he brings it out in his teaching, and I bet it was probably in his personality. We find that he was a married man. I don't know if he had kids, but if he had kids and they wanted to ask for something, they probably didn't go to dad. They probably went to mom, because he was probably a yes, no, probably more no type person. But he was a man of law. He was a married man. If you read the story in Acts chapter 15, he was a peacemaker. James was a peacemaker. There's conflict in the leadership of the early church, and he was kind of in the middle of that, pulling both directions. And actually, history tells us that the book of James is maybe the first New Testament Bible that was written, and it was believed that was written before Acts chapter 15. So the things that he brings out, we get to see it practice in the story of Acts chapter 15 and beyond. We also find in his writing, and I believe in his personality, that James did not suggest. He commanded. You ever worked for someone like that? You know, some people, like, they get your ideas and input. Others just tell you what to do. And he wasn't that he was harsh or anything. He just knew the authority of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the authority that God had put within him. And in our reading, we'll find that he doesn't suggest. He commands. And finally, kind of as I said before, he quotes a lot of stories of Jesus. Even though at the time that Jesus was preaching, he wasn't necessarily a follower, he kept on referencing these stories that his brother taught, specifically the Sermon on the Mount. So there's James. There's our James. Who did he write to? Well, we read our one verse for today. He wrote to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. So he wrote to the Christian Jews living outside of Israel, because the church started in Jerusalem, but eventually they were scattered. And so as they were scattered, he wrote to them to encourage them, to teach to them. He wrote to, or he called Christian Jews, again, this is one of our first New Testament books, he called them brethren, or brothers. And we still use that today. Someone coined that in the early church, where we call each other brothers and sisters. Again, it's the 12 tribes that were scattered. Now that word, the Greek word, means to disperse. The early church was dispersed. Or another meaning was scattered seed. Farmers, do you guys keep the seed in a big bag or the little pouch? That doesn't do any good. It must be scattered. So we see scattered and we think, oh, they're fleeing, they're run away. But really, it was a good thing for the scattered seed. You see, as I talked at the end of worship in Acts chapter 7, Saul persecuted the church, and he was there to okay the first martyr for Jesus Christ, who was Stephen. And he helped put Stephen to death. And then chapter 8, he goes on a rampage, coming against the early church, who was exploding into Jerusalem. And so Saul, the persecution early on, you might think, oh no, this is bad. But in reality, it was good, because God was spreading the seed. He was spreading the gospel to the world. If you read in Acts chapter 8, 1 and 4, you read through a different set of eyes. It sounds like the persecution was so great that they all had to flee. But as they fled, in verse 4, it tells us that they preached wherever they went. God is like, get out of Jerusalem. No, I got a job. Get out of Jerusalem. No, I got a nice home here, God. Get out of Jerusalem. If you're not going to get out, I'll give you some motivation. And persecution comes, and they are scattered, and they preach wherever they go. Now, as they are scattered abroad, that's where James feels compelled to write to them, to encourage them. They are also persecuted because as they're scattered, the early church, they were, many of them, most of them were Jews, and the Jews were persecuted by the Romans. So they had that persecution. But they are Jewish Christians. Who were Jewish Christians persecuted by? The Jews. So the Romans are coming after him. The Jews are coming after him. They were experiencing lots of persecution, which James feels compelled to write to this. Why did he write? Why did James write? Early Christians were having some problems. I know. We never have problems, right? There's no problems. This is really just academic. You know, I'm just going to give you some examples, a list, but I'm sure it doesn't apply to us because we got this all figured out, right? The early church was having some problems. They were scattered. You know, if you got displaced, as Israelis right now are getting displaced because of the war, the battle going on, they're getting displaced. That's probably not an enjoyable thing to go through. The early church was, as we said, was persecuted. That would be some problems. They had squabbles within the fellowship. Again, that's back then. We don't have that, right? None of that. They found within the church that some within the church were catering to the rich, and others were being persecuted by the rich. Do you think that causes a problem within a fellowship? And some of them were competing for offices or power within the church. That caused some problems. But James addresses five major problems in the scripture. First problem, the Christians not living the lifestyle they profess to believe in. Again, that's back then, not today. There's no hypocrites here, right? We've never said this is what we believe and then this is what we do. That was a problem in the early church. The second problem, the tongue. Yeah, we've got that figured out, right? Yeah. The third problem, worldliness. Looking like, acting like the world. That was a problem in the early church. Bless the Lord, we don't have that problem anymore, right? If you don't know me, I'm a little sarcastic. I'm sorry. Maybe I should wear that shirt. It's one of my gifts. I don't know if it's a gift. It's definitely not the gift of the Holy Spirit. Fourth problem. Some were disobeying the word and were becoming physically sick. Some were disobeying the word and were becoming physically sick. Pastor, are you saying? I'm not saying anything. That's what the Bible addresses. That's what James addresses. A fifth problem. Some were straying from the Lord and the church. All right. Does this sound like the early church problems or does this sound like today church problems? This sounds like today church problems. And James was addressing it, and that's why we're diving into it, because we get to apply this to today. James observed a common theme in churches, the early church, and he would call it spiritual immaturity. He looked at the early church, which he was excited about as they were going out in the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he looked at the churches and he came to the conclusion, y'all are spiritually immature. And so his basic theme for his Bible is the marks of maturity in the Christian life. He is about to bring to us the marks of maturity in the Christian life. It begs the question, as a church, are we a playpen for babies? Or are we a workshop for adults? What are you? What are you looking for? A playpen or a workshop? I think you're starting to sense. All right, this is starting to get serious. James uses the word perfect many times in the scripture. Now, that does not mean sinless, for none are. But it means to mature. He encourages us to be perfected. We need to mature. We need to grow up. So let's just take a little pause and let's talk about this maturity. I think we all know that everyone grows old, but not everyone grows up. We need to grow up. We must grow up. As many of you know, out of high school, my intention was to be an architect. I love construction and building and math and creativity, but God, at the last minute, changed me to ministry. But that summer after I graduated, still needed a job to help pay for college, and I interviewed for a carpentry position in Spooner. And I got hired by a man named John Jadeberg, Jadeberg Construction. He was a builder, designer, great guy. He wasn't necessarily on the job sites with our crew, but he hired me. And I remember my first day, I think it was after Memorial Day, my first day on the job, I borrowed from my dad some things. I borrowed a tool belt. They were more kind of like bibs, so there was two little pouches in front. And I borrowed a tape measure, which was like a 25-foot tape measure. And I borrowed a hammer, which was, I think, a 16-ounce, I call it a finishing hammer, but it was a 16-ounce hammer, and a pencil. And I was told by John when I had the interview to meet the foreman. I think it was the fire department had bought a different building in Spooner at the time, across from the Civic Center, and they were doing some remodeling. So I went there and I met Paul. Paul was the foreman of the crew. With me, there was four guys on the crew, and Paul was the boss. And so it was just him and I, and I just did whatever he told me to do, right, with my little tools and my little hammer and my little tape measure. And I did whatever he told me to do. And after about a week or two, I realized these tools I have that my father gave me aren't good enough for the work that I have before me. And so I got big bags, much bigger belt. I got a 35-foot tape. I got a 22 or 24-inch or a 24-ounce hammer, big one that holds the nail and everything, massive. I got a speed square. I got a chalk line because I learned that the tools I had were not adequate for what was before me. The tools that I had received from my dad that worked for him and what he does wasn't good enough for me. Are you hearing me this morning? And so I worked on this crew. And throughout the first year, I was the grunt. I was the low man on the totem pole. And I did whatever they told me to do because I didn't know anything about construction. I had to learn. And so every day, and our foreman's eventually changed from Paul to Brian, you know, every day we get to the job site, and Brian would go to this table, and he would look at the blueprints, and he'd read them, and then he'd tell the crew what to do. And so I would do whatever my foreman told me to do, because he could read the blueprints. And eventually, he started giving me some tasks. If I had to cut headers and stuff for doors, I said, well, how big do I make them? He brought me to the blueprints and said, here's how you read it. These are the dimensions. Ah. And so I began to understand the blueprints. And I got pretty good at that because I was learning, I was absorbing, I was excited about it. And our crew went from 4 to 8 in my second year. And I remember one day John came to me and said, you know, we got a number of different projects going on. We're behind at one at Shell Lake. After work, I want to meet you over there. So I went over to this job site, a remod site on the lake, and I'd been there for a few different things. And he said, next week, starting on Monday, I want you out here, and I'm going to send these three other guys. And these three other guys were younger than me, knew less than me. And he said, I want you to lead the crew. And so this is the work I have. Here's the print. Here's the material. Can you do that? Yeah, I can do that. And so for the next couple of weeks, I led a crew. I was 19, 20 years old. Leading a crew because I knew how to read the prints and how to convey that to others so that they could get the work done. Are you hearing me this morning? What tools do you have in your walk of faith? Is it your parents? Is it your pastors? Because it needs to come from Jesus Christ. You need to upgrade your tools because your tools aren't cutting it. And some of you don't even have pouches, don't even have tools in the pouches. Because you haven't grown up. You must grow up. And not only that, you must... Let's take a breath. It's okay. I'm nice, really. You also need to learn to read blueprints. If you come here looking for me to tell you how to read the blueprints, and that is your life for the rest of your walk with Jesus Christ, it's not good enough. Grow up. This is your source. Go to it. If you have questions, text me. Call Pastor Arvid. We'll be glad to bring understanding, but you must learn to read the blueprints. But you know what's even cooler than the blueprints? Where did the blueprints come from? Somebody's mind. And it was written down for understanding. And you know what my boss learned to do right away as he sat down in a living room with a husband and wife that wanted to build a cabin? He got into their mind. He wanted to see what they were thinking with a house, with their home that wasn't even created yet. And he would pay attention to little details as they expressed it, and he would design it that way. We have to understand the mind of God. God, His Holy Spirit, wants to speak to you what it is He's doing. You must read the blueprints, but even more so, you must rely upon the Holy Spirit and listen to the Holy Spirit of what He is saying and doing. Church, grow up. I love you. Whew. Okay. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. So I've learned. I went from being told what to do with basic tools to upgrading my tools and then being able to understand the blueprints and to teach others. And eventually, both this project that you see out there and the last project that did with the previous church before I came here, I've had in my mind a design. I've grown to not just being told what to do, to reading the designs, but to creating the designs. Because I've heard the heart and I see what needs to be done. And that's what God wants in your walk, in your growth, is to not just be told what to do, but to understand. But then for God to put vision in your heart, for you to go and to create and to bring others with you. That's the next step, Cammie. That's the next step. You went from going on to the mission field, just being told what to do, to, okay, oh, I understand what this thing is. And now you're that part of vision. You want vision. God, and you know what vision requires? It requires people. It requires a body. That's what God is. And so you go, you checking some things out. Great. But God is going to drop vision. And God's going to do awesome things in your ministry, in your life. Amen. So what can we learn out of this book? Ultimately, we got to grow up. Ultimately, we have to grow up. How do you grow up? Well, how do you grow as a human? First, you have to be born. That helps. To grow up in Christ, you must be born again. You must recognize you are a sinner. You must recognize Jesus is our Savior. We must accept Him into our hearts, believe in Him in our hearts, that He is our Lord and Savior, repent of our sins, and follow after Him. We have to be born again. Now, babies who are born, they're born to two parents. That's how it works. Spiritually, babies, we have two parents. We have the Word of God, and we have the Spirit of God. We need to read this and understand it and also hear from the Holy Spirit. That's how we grow and that's how we mature. And as we grow and mature and grow up, we also need to honestly allow the Holy Spirit and the Word to examine our hearts so that we can grow, to perfect us. So let me wrap this up. Church, it's time to grow up. Now I hope you brought steel-toed boots, because I'm about to. If you think it was harsh up until this point, I'm going to start dancing on your toes. It is time to grow up, because in our midst, some of you honestly are selfish. Many of you are angry. You deal with anger. You're ornery. Just grow up. Some of you are mean-spirited. We have gossips amongst us. We have addicts amongst us. Many here have weak foundations that you don't care about. There are here that are many here that are unwilling to work, unwilling to learn, unwilling to give, unwilling to change, unwilling to submit, unwilling to forgive. Unwilling to forgive. He forgave you. And if you're unwilling to forgive your brother or sister, you cannot be forgiven. You must forgive. Church, grow up. if you have been hurt years in the past and you haven't gotten over it, gone to that person and forgave them, look out. There are those here unwilling to forgive. And many times when you're unwilling to forgive, you are bitter. There are bitter people here. Bitter people here. We are surrounded by know-it-alls and proud individuals. Some of you don't love. You don't love others. You don't love your spouse. You don't love your kids. What you're doing, that's not love. Some of you separate yourselves from others. Okay, everyone here, take a little break, deep breath, because I'm going to look at the camera. And our online viewers, I love you. I'm grateful that you are here hearing the word, but if you call that church, if that is your only source, and you're on your couch, you're in your living room, you're in your car, wherever it is, and you just look through a lens and you call that church, you're missing something. In fact, the church is missing something. You. The church is a fellowship of knuckleheads. And you cannot separate yourself and expect to grow. You must be in the fellowship. Do not forsake the gathering of believers. Well, Pastor is just being so nice today. It is the word of God. Amen? This is not me. And this is what we must do. And my list is still going. Some of you are stubborn. Some of you have language problems. You kiss your mom with that mouth? And we're going to read about that. Was that James chapter 2? Many here are complainers. Nothing's right. The music's too loud. The music's too quiet. It's too hot. It's too cold. I don't like the lights. I don't like the backgrounds. I don't like the scripture. I don't like Pastor Jason. I don't like the wafers. I don't like the juice. I don't like the color scheme. I don't like the backdrop. Stop it. Sorry. Okay. Complainers. Some of you are impatient. Actually, all of you are. We all are, right? We are all incredibly impatient. Insensitive. Let me wrap it up. Some of you don't pray. Some of you don't fast. Some of you don't tithe. Some of you don't read the word of God. Some of you don't praise. You don't. Grow up. We must learn to obey the word and the spirit of God no matter the cost. Church, if you are willing, this series is going to cost you something. Or not. Keep living your baby life. But I want to grow up. Do you want to grow up? Then grow up by getting into the word and being obedient to Christ. Learn, be discipled, get into the word, pray, fast. It is time to grow up. And if you do this, allow God to change your heart and mind, we are going to impact this world, no longer being fearful-minded, but hopeful-minded, because we're going to go on, take any challenge that comes our way. It is time to grow up. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask you to bring it. Lord, I'm grateful that so many grab notes, and that's not a sign of it's better or not. Lord, I challenge those that grab notes to check the word. Be like the Bereans. Lord, make sure Pastor didn't make a mistake, because maybe I did. Lord, I pray that they go this week to their Bibles and they read the stories about Big James and Little James and the scriptures that are there, Lord, and understanding. Lord, I pray that there is a hunger within us to dig into the Word. Lord, there are some here that this prayer that they are listening to is the only prayer they have all week. I pray that you challenge them to start praying. Lord, there are so many things that we need to change. God, I could give you more time. Wow, if I picked up the Bible half as much of the time that I pick up my phone, God, you would change me. A quarter of the time. Father, if I spent more time seeking what you have to say as opposed to what social media is telling me, Lord, you would change me. But there's something in me that is just stubborn and resistant, doesn't want to grow up. Lord, help me to grow up. And Lord, I think of myself as a pastor that needs to be an example. But Lord, I think of the fathers and mothers in this room that need to grow up, not just for their own faith, but for their children that they are losing, that are slipping through their fingers. Why? Because we haven't grown up, and we haven't shown people hope. We've shown them fear. We've shown them complacency. We've shown them worldliness. Father, bring it, this series, the next couple of months. I pray you challenge our hearts and our minds, and I pray that we are prepared for whatever is coming at the end of the chapter. We read at the beginning, Paul was persecuting, but at the end, you changed his heart, and he preached everywhere. Lord, I don't know what the next chapter is going to bring in our lives, in my life, but Lord, I want to be prepared. I want to have the right tools. And Lord, I want to be mature in Jesus Christ. So we surrender to you. And we open our hearts, Lord, to your word and your challenges. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.